Bank project at Florida State University, just start talking before even the first slide comes up. The Morph Bank project, we are a biological image database. With everything that goes along with being a biological image database in 2007. We're a large team of people, so I represent at least about 12 folks involved. MorphBank just came out with version 2.7. It's a new release for us. It just came out last week. And along with version 2.7, if you're familiar at all with the system, there's a lot of improvements to the features that were already there, plus a few new added things. And what I really want to talk about today, and I hope I don't leave too many people behind, is a new feature in MorphBank where we're exposing data from MorphBank via XML. And XML is a type of markup language where the data and the images, when they're put into MorphBank, if you can mine that XML and look at that XML, then you can suck up, absorb, or read the data in your own database or in your own website. And one of the things I want to try to get across to people is that it sounds a lot more complicated than it potentially really could be. But to first understand this idea, I have to understand a little bit about MorphBank and how we organize our data, which isn't that much different than other imaging databases or other specimen-related databases. We organize our data based on a series of records. So when you upload to MorphBank, you're basically uploading images. That's the goal in the very end. But while you're uploading images, you're also uploading a bunch of different kinds of data associated with those images. So for example, you upload data associated with the specimen. And in MorphBank, you see these then being displayed on the MorphBank website as a specimen record, and that specimen record is given a unique ID. Same thing goes for images. It's displayed as an image record. That image record is then given a unique ID. Records in MorphBank not only are single shows or records for images or records for specimens, but you can organize your images into collections. Those collections then are a single show, and that collection becomes a record that has one unique ID. The same goes for new with the version 2.7. We have a special kind of collection. The special kind of collection basically gives you the tools to say that this collection of images represents a character, and you can make character state annotations on the images, and thereby actually making a character state annotation on a specimen, a collection of specimens, or a taxon. But this representation that you see here in the, on the MorphBank website has, in and of itself, is one record with one unique ID. You can make annotations to images with simple markup or just text. And you can also make determination annotations. And both of these kinds of annotations then have a single show that's represented in MorphBank, and that single show has a unique ID for that specific annotation. And so I went through that very much to show all the different kinds of records, but all those different kinds of records are then given a unique identifier or a unique ID within MorphBank. And that has a lot of utility, even though it's a swimming pool of maybe unique IDs. But all of the unique IDs are then, when you upload an image, you can add information to that image about views, about specimens, about locations. Each one of those records will then be given a unique ID. You can increase the value of your images by adding more information, including publication information. You can organize your images into collections, saying something about the associations of those images with each other, make annotations, etc. And these unique IDs is when you have your records organized in this manner, it becomes sort of a life science identifier or a unique link back to that particular record. All of our records are made in a uniform way, so all of the links then come back in a uniform manner. The uniform manner would be the base URL, which is always the same. It's always constant for any link back to MorphBank. So this MorphBank slash question mark equals ID is considered the base. The only thing that changes for any link back to a MorphBank record is that unique ID. So you can maybe start seeing the utility of this, where if you have a series of unique IDs that are returned to you either by manually looking through the database or by if you have an XML or a feed from us, then you can build a series of unique IDs with a base URL then the ID attached to it, and you could start linking images and records back from your website back to Morphbank or embed them in your own website. An example of this, of linking from one place back to an image record on Morphbank, so you see the Morphbank image record itself, is from a Zotaxa papers, online papers and publications, and this one's an example is from Lilleblad et al., where they have taken, to describe their characters, a large number of images. They deposited the image on Morphbank, made a collection, and then that collection has one unique ID, which then they can link from the Zotaxa paper back to the image collection on Morphbank, which will show all of the images that they used to code that particular character. So where do you find these unique IDs? They're all over. We try to make it as obvious as possible what the unique ID is for a particular image or any other record. So if you're browsing Morphbank and you look through the My Manager, if you're looking at the images, you can see next to the thing that says image is the unique ID for that image. Now, to link from an external website to a Morphbank record, it has that base URL plus the unique ID for that particular record. But if you add on the end, and image type equals JPEG, and we keep images in four different sizes, little small ones to all the way really big ones, if you add that to the end, what ends up happening is you don't return the record, but you return the image alone that you can embed in your own website. An example of this is a key to the Chalcedonia. It's based on Eric Grizel and Mike Schaff's key, a very famous key, from the Handbook of the Art of Chalcedonia. And these images, even though they exist here on the Heimatal website, and you see them on the Heimatal website, these images actually live on the Morphbank server. And it's using the system of the unique IDs to not only embed the image into the web page, but then link back to the record itself. And when it links back to the record, then it also exposes all the collection information and everything else that's associated with that image. All right, so that's the basis of it. If you have unique IDs, if you can think of the concept of the unique ID, with that one ID, you can embed an image in your own web pages, but then you can also link back to a Morphbank record. You can start thinking that that could expand and become even more and more complicated. Now, Morphbank with version 2.7, and this website here, you can see a live demo for yourself. It's the Morphbank development server, but it is actually querying production. So this is live data that you get returned in XML from the Morphbank system. And so XML is extensive markup language, and basically what XML is the same stuff that's in RSS feeds or Atom feeds. And all it does is exists is a tag that's created, as you see, as ID here on either side, and we make up those tags. So these are specific tags for Morphbank. And so ID is obvious, but those IDs are then the IDs for these images. And what the search that I've conducted here in Morphbank was for one of our users, Richard Pyle. I wanted to see all the images in a collection that Richard had created, and I only want the IDs returned. And so this is what comes back to me, is a whole string of IDs. And on Morphbank, this is what that looks like. So this is the collection record that Richard created on Morphbank. And this is what it looks like when those IDs live on Morphbank and we show them through our web page. Now, by using and parsing that XML, what I can do is then embed those IDs on my own web page. Now, there's kind of a big gap between saying this or seeing this, looking at this, and then returning this. But how did I find out that information? I looked on Google, and on one Google result and hit, and just a little bit of tinkering, the information, the tutorials, and actually the code to do that was already there. XML and a lot of these languages, even though it seems like a million miles away and can be very difficult if you just start approaching them, a lot of the code has already been written, a lot of the work has already been done. It's just problem solving to try to figure out how to employ it and do it and use it in your own work. The nifty thing about XML, too, that when Richard adds a new image to that collection, that image will then automatically appear on my web page. So it becomes dynamic at this point. So if you're searching, for example, and get an XML result for the lateral habitus images of bees that are found on Morphbank, and you create a web page that shows all the lateral habitus images of bees using Morphbank XML returns, then the next time somebody uploads a bee and that image is public, it'll pop up on your web page. So I want to talk about, there's a lot of projects that we're working with personally to try to develop this XML return software, where we're feeding XML, exposing XML on public images to the world. The next step of this, of course, is now we're exposing it. What we really need to do is make the thing come around full circle and then take XML from other people to be able to upload images and image data to Morphbank. So we're working with a number of different projects. So Desam Herbaria with the Plant Collections Project, who are using Google Base actually to database all of their image data, and then Morphbank to database all of their images. And then using Atom feeds to talk back to each other is a really nice example. But another, pretty straightforward and clear example, perhaps, of how you can use Morphbank images and embed them in other projects. And at this point, it really becomes a workflow issue. If you can imagine, if you can return images, and you can return images by these IDs, and if you can imagine the project of how you want to organize your data using these two different things, with those two things as a result, pretty much it can be done, and the results can end up being very transparent. One example of this is MX. It's a managing taxonomic data tool coded by Matthew Yoder and Krishna Dole, Texas A&M, or used to be a Texas A&M. And in the MX system, you can add images to their server, but you can also link to Morphbank images. All of these images on this page are actually Morphbank images. They reside on the Morphbank server. They use that ID system in order to link the images or embed the images in MX. And so from this page, it looks very much similar to the browse page or the page we saw before with all of the fish, and you can see that it's a whole list of IDs and embedded images. But once the images are in the system, it takes that same link, the morphbank.net/?id/image=unique-identifier, keeps the images in the entire system. So here it may be fairly obvious, but as you start moving into the system and moving through MX, where these images actually reside becomes less and less obvious. So these images, this is in a multi-key interface that can be created using the MX software. And these images were uploaded using MX, but they actually reside on the Morphbank server. And so in the background and behind all of this, those images have those unique IDs with morphbank.net?/=the ID. And the next step has been to make this, using the Morphbank recently exposed XML, to make this an even easier process where the person doesn't have to type in a unique ID to have it linked to the images, but instead they can type in a search. So in a Google-like search, they can type in a search for all the lateral habitus images of Apoidea, and what ends up happening is you get a series of thumbnails. And then you can decide whether or not you want to use that thumbnail throughout the entire system or use that image throughout the entire system because the program is looking at the XML that's behind that Morphbank is producing. So returning IDs, since we are an image database, it seems like the first no-brainer thing to do is return IDs that people can use in their images in their own web pages and link back to their images. But then the world can get a lot more complicated than that, because we not only keep the images, but we also keep all the associated data with those images. So if you start looking and playing around with the XML, the exposure of the XML, and you start looking at the basic information that then is returned on Richard Pyle's image collection with just one record, you get something a lot more like this. But the important thing to realize that even though XML can start looking really complicated over and over again, is all it really is an image tag on one side, an image tag on another side, and in between is that data. So it's still the exact same format, now it just looks like a lot more text than it was before. And it can be parsed in the exact same manner. But you can get a lot more returns, you can get information about the images themselves, collection, location, events, et cetera, from the same, in the same similar manner. And that's all I have. A lot of people to thank. Time for one question. Anybody has a question?
So if I'm a third-party user on your on this key that's somewhere else, away from Morphe, and I'm curious about where that image came from, can I get that information that's back on Morphe? Because I don't know that it's...
Well, a lot of times you could have the links that go back to the original image records, and sometimes it's also exposed if you, mouse click on the image or whatever and copy the path, then you can see where the path is, where it originally existed or came from. But no, it can be really transparent, too, which you actually have no idea what's the database that's housing the image to begin with.